Welcome in. In this lesson, we're building a Polony men-style mid-bass in Ableton Live 12, and we're not just making it sound nasty, we're making it work like a real drum and bass record. That means groove, phrasing, space, and DJ-friendly structure. The goal is to make the bass feel like it's pulled out of the amen break itself, almost like the drums and bass are in conversation. We're aiming at that classic jungle to dance floor zone around 170 to 174 BPM, where the break has attitude, the sub is solid, and the mid-bass carries the motion and aggression without stepping on the drums. If you get this right, the bass won't just sit on top of the beat. It'll answer the break, duck around the snare, and give the track that rolling, mean, controlled energy that works in a mix. First, set up the drum foundation. Load an amen-style break onto an audio track or slice it in simpler if you want fast control. You can keep it as a one-bar or two-bar loop, then add a few extra ghost hits or edited transients for movement. The key here is not perfect grid stiffness. The amen lives in that push-pull feel, so use a little groove. A light swing in the groove pool, somewhere around 54 to 58%, can help, or just nudge a few hits slightly ahead or behind the grid by hand. Keep the main kick and snare fairly locked, but let the smaller details breathe. Now, before you even write bass notes, listen to where the break is already speaking. That's important. A lot of producers make the mistake of filling every gap with bass, but in DNB, space is part of the rhythm. The bass should react to the amen, not fight it. Next, create a MIDI track and load Wavetable. Start with a patch that has harmonic weight. A saw or square saw blend on oscillator 1 is a good start, and then add a second saw slightly detuned for thickness. Keep unison modest. 2 to 4 voices is enough. You want weight and edge, not a giant speared wash. Put a 24 dB low-pass filter on it and start the cutoff somewhere in the dark zone, maybe around 120 to 250 Hz, then open it later with automation. Add a little resonance, but don't overdo it. You want movement and character, not a whistle that screams over the drums. A really solid chain for the mid-bass is Wavetable into saturator, then drum bus, then EQ8, then utility. That gives you tone, attitude, shape, and final control. Think of the mid-bass as the personality layer. It lives in the mid-range and upper bass, while the sub gets its own treatment. So now create a separate sub-layer. You can duplicate the MIDI, or build a new track with operator or Wavetable using a sine wave. Keep this one clean and mono. Use utility with width set to 0%, and if needed, low pass at around 90 to 120 Hz. This is one of the most important decisions in the whole lesson. Kick first, sub second, mid bass third. That hierarchy keeps the low end stable and punchy. If the sub gets wide or blurry, the whole tune loses its spine. Now let's program the actual bass rhythm. Don't think in terms of a loop. Think in terms of phrases. Ask yourself where the bass is asking a question, where it's answering, and where it should step back and let the amen speak. A strong advanced DNB pattern often works in two-bar cells. For example, bar 1 might have a short stab on an offbeat, and bar 2 answers with a slide, a little octave jump, or a pickup note. Leave a gap where the snare can crack through. Try hitting on the end of 1, or around beat 2.5, or 3.5. Keep note lengths short when you want the bass to act like percussion. Use longer notes only when you want pressure or a sense of push. If you're going for roller vibe, keep it sparse and hypnotic. If you want it more jungle or neuro adjacent, add quick anticipations and tiny clusters of notes. And please use velocity changes. Repeated notes with the exact same velocity can sound pasted on. A little variation makes the bass feel played, not programmed. Here's a useful mindset. Every bass note should have a job. It should either push, respond, fill, tension, release, or leave space. If a note doesn't do one of those things, cut it. Once the rhythm is in place, shape the envelope so the bass behaves like a drum. Give it a fast attack, short to medium decay, and a release that's tight enough to stay clear. If you want more of a stabby, percussive feel, keep sustain lower. If you want a rolling sustain, raise it a bit. In DNB, envelope shape is arrangement language. A tighter envelope can feel like verse energy. Slightly longer tails can feel like drop energy. Now add movement, but do it with intention. Use an LFO in Wavetable to animate the filter cutoff or Wavetable position. A rated 1/8, 1/16, or dotted sync value can work nicely and keep the amount subtle. You're aiming for a living, breathing tone, not an obvious wobble unless that's the point. Automation is your friend too. Open the cutoff a little in the last two bars of a phrase. Push saturator drive for section lifts. Add a bit more drum bus crunch when the drop needs extra bite. Small moves go a long way here. At this point, If the base phrase is working, resample it. This is a huge part of the DNB workflow. Print the 4-bar or 8-bar idea to audio, then treat it like a break. Once it's audio, you can slice it, reverse tiny bits, chop tails, and use the actual performance as material. That's where a lot of the character comes from. Sometimes a printed bass phrase feels more alive than the live synth, because the audio locks in the rhythm in a way that's hard to fake. After resampling, use warp if timing needs tightening, or simpler if you want to reslice the hits. Clean up any low mid buildup with EQ8, and always check the low end in mono with utility. This is where the track starts to sound finished rather than just designed. Now route the mid bass and sub into a bass group. On the group, keep the processing broad and musical. A gentle high pass on the mid bass around 80 to 120 Hz can help if the sub is separate. Add a little saturator with soft clip-on. Use drum bus carefully for extra punch and density, but don't crush the life out of it. A tiny bit of glue compressor, maybe 1 or 2 dB at most, can help the layers feel united. If the snare loses its crack, back off the low mids around 180 to 400 Hz instead of just slamming more compression on everything. Now let's talk structure, because this is where the DJ-friendly part really matters. A proper DNB arrangement needs intro, drop, turnaround, and outro energy. DJs need something they can mix with, and dancers need a clear rise and release. A practical layout could be something like this. Bars 1 to 16 as a DJ intro with filtered drums and a bass tease. Bars 17 to 32 as the first drop with the full bass motif. Bars 33 to 40 as a switch-up or tension section. Bars 41 to 56 as a second drop with more automation and fills. And bars 57 onward as a DJ-friendly outro where you strip the lead energy back and let the drums and sub carry the transition. Use small edits to make the structure feel intentional. Mute the bass for a beat before a section change. Add a fill at bar 16 or 32. Close the filter right before the drop and open it again on impact. Remove a little low end before the next phrase returns so the drop feels bigger when it lands. These little arrangement gestures matter a lot in DNB because they help the DJ read the tune and help the crowd feel the pressure building. Also, keep checking the low end in context. Don't solo the bass and make decisions in a vacuum. In DNB, a bass sound that feels huge by itself can completely wreck the kick and snare once the full drop is running. The break, the sub, the mid-bass, and any rides or atmospheres all need to be judged together. A few common mistakes to avoid here. Don't make the bass too wide in the low end. Keep the sub mono. Don't write bass notes that crash into every snare hit. Leave gaps on purpose. Don't pile on distortion before the rhythm is working. Get the phrase right first. Don't overfill every bar. Bass creates impact. And don't forget that DJ usability is part of the production. A track can sound amazing in your studio and still be awkward in a mix if the intro and outro don't breathe. Here are a few pro-level moves you can try. Use subtle velocity, shaping so some bass notes hit harder at the start of a phrase. Automate resonance only into fills, not all the time. Resample the bass and use little reverse tails or chopped stabs for darker texture. Add a very quiet noise layer above 3 kHz if you need the bass to read better on smaller speakers. And if you want more aggression, try a parallel grit lane, duplicate the bass, high-pass the copy, distort it harder, and blend it in very quietly for your arrangement. Think in phrases, not just bars. Keep the 8-bar symmetry, but add one or two small surprises so it doesn't become robotic. A tiny rest, a displaced note, a 1-bar fill, or an octave flip can wake the whole groove up. And if you want the track to feel like it's escalating, make the first 8 bars restrained, the next 8 bars busier, and the final section the most intense version of the same motif. If you want a quick practice pass, make a 4-bar amen plus mid bass loop. Use only 3 to 5 notes. Add a separate sine sub. Automate the filter once. Resample the bass phrase and chop one fill. Then check it in mono and fix one thing. That's a fast way to force the lesson into a real musical result. So the big takeaway is this. Build the bass as a conversation with the amen, not as a separate layer sitting on top of it. Keep the sub mono. Keep the mid bass focused. Use gaps and syncopation and shape movement with automation, modulation, and resampling. Then arrange it like a tune that a DJ can actually mix. In darker DNB, space, weight, and rhythm will always beat mindless complexity. All right, let's dive in and make that bass hit like it came straight out of the break.